What's your purpose? Your why? Because at PNC Private Bank, we want to help you achieve it. We'll take care of the how, so just tell us, what's your why? To learn more, please visit pnc.com/private bank. Copyright 2022, the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. All rights reserved. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, November 22nd. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Don't let recent stock market rallies fool you. The Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P 500 are each still in bear market territory, thanks to an unsettled economy and the specter of higher interest rates. And yet, many investors are turning away from overseas stocks. To them, U.S.-traded stocks are the only game in town.
There is definitely a lasting legacy of the U.S.'s outperformance. This cycle is going on its 12th year, and you know, research shows going back to the 70s, typically that only lasts about 8 years, so people have really grown accustomed to favoring U.S. stocks.
But how much an international equity should be in your portfolio, and what caution signs from the U.S. economy should investors be watching for? We'll ask our markets reporter Eric Wallerstein about that after the break.
If you're listening to this podcast, you must recognize the value of asking questions. At Aramco, our questions help us engineer a better future. How can today's resources fuel our shared tomorrow? How can we deliver energy to a world that can't stop? How can we deliver one of the fuels of the future? How can we sow curiosity to harvest ingenuity? To learn more about how innovation drives us forward, visit aramco.com/poweredbyhow.
Rising inflation and the likelihood of higher interest rates have given Wall Street fits as of late. But that hasn't stopped investors from loading up on U.S. stocks. So what does that mean for your portfolio? Wall Street Journal markets reporter Eric Wallerstein has been tracking investor sentiment, and he joins us with more. Hey, Eric, thank you very much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, JR.
So, Eric, it's been a pretty tumultuous year for the U.S. stock market. How much have U.S. stock holdings grown in 2022?
Investors have added $86 billion just to mutual funds and ETFs that hold U.S. stocks this year. It's not quite where we were last year. That was about $156 billion. But other than that, it's the most since 2013. So it's a pretty sizable amount given how far markets have declined.
But we're still in an economy that many say is teetering on falling into recession. What's attracting investors to U.S. stocks?
Yeah, so the interesting thing is, you know, the whole economy across the world is kind of in this darkened state. And the U.S., a lot of investors are crediting the labor market as holding up and being very robust, as well as consumer spending has still been hanging in there, even as the Federal Reserve increases interest rates. So that relative strength to the rest of the world has really helped out. And then there's the strength of the U.S. dollar has also kind of buoyed stocks.
Now, you mentioned the Federal Reserve and interest rates. Anyone keeping a close eye on their stock portfolio or 401k has seen that the market can take sharp turns whenever the idea of higher rates enters the conversation. And the Fed has been quick to remind people that interest rates are likely to rise further well into next year. With respect to U.S. stocks, why wouldn't that give investors pause?
So it definitely has, and that's part of the reason that stocks are down so much this year. But we've seen this push and pull between investors and cooling inflation. At any signs that maybe price pressures are easing, they're really quick to jump in. Just a couple weeks ago, we saw some of the best performances for the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ composite since the COVID crisis. So we're definitely seeing people bet that the Federal Reserve will pull back at some point.
You know, we often hear that financial advisors suggest that people have 10 to 20% of their portfolios in international equities. How does the current environment affect that?
Yeah, there is, you know, definitely a lasting legacy of the U.S.'s outperformance. This cycle is going on its 12th year, and, you know, research shows going back to the 70s, typically that only lasts about 8 years, so people have really grown accustomed to favoring U.S. stocks. And that 10 to 20%, that's about what we see in the data. About 78% of equity ETFs and mutual funds are in U.S. equities as opposed to the other 22% in international stocks. All that means is that 10 to 20% might be doing better than the U.S. stocks going forward if you think that that cycle might correct, but that's what that's there for. I'm sure a financial advisor would tell investors. So if anything, it's just a rotation. And yeah, it's kind of to be expected as you buy and hold for a long period of time.
Now, a moment ago, you mentioned U.S. and foreign economies being in a darkened state. But what is it about overseas economies that's caused investors to funnel their cash toward U.S. stocks?
Yeah, so there's this never-ending cycle of bad news seemingly overseas. Europe is in the midst of an energy crisis. A lot of the world is, really, sparked by Russia's war in Ukraine. In Asia, they're dealing with China's COVID-19 lockdowns, which have been super stringent and really crushed demand, both in China and the region broadly. The UK has its own idiosyncratic issues. They have political turmoil. They've had fiscal policies spark like action in their bond market. They've caused concern with pension funds. And then even in Japan, they've been supporting their own currency, the yen, because it's been falling to its lowest levels in decades. So there's across the world, there's seemingly problems. And I think in that kind of really darkened outlook, people are saying, hey, like the US, sure, could be entering a recession, but it definitely looks better than some of the prospects elsewhere.
Do investors see anything attractive about international stocks?
Yeah, so there are a few things that have led pretty prominent investors and firms to point to international stocks, specifically Europe, Japan, etc., as maybe the places that will really dominate the next decade or so. One being valuations. They just look more attractive. They're cheaper. People have said this is a good entry point. Also, the dividend yield. You know, prices have fallen a lot this year, and the actual cash that corporations are paying out to investors has almost never been higher in the difference between other developed economies and the U.S. And then that last point that we discussed earlier is the strength of the dollar. Once that finally subsides, which people are betting it will, that'll help boost international markets. So there's basically three things that might help drive, other developed markets to outperformance going forward.
So looking ahead, what should investors have on their radar that could affect U.S. stocks?
Yeah, so, you know, like you said, the Federal Reserve continuing to raise interest rates. Inflation has shown signs of easing recently, but remains at multi-decade highs. And then there's that worry that we do enter a recession or that consumer spending or corporate earnings start taking a legitimate hit. So there's definitely like concerns on the horizon, and investors recognize that. There's also the potential that the U.S. economy remains really resilient. I think some of the things that we've heard from investors is that whether the U.S. does continue to outperform or not, it could be a really choppy ride. And that's one of the reasons they've promoted diversification into some of these other markets.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal markets reporter Eric Wallerstein. Eric, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks a bunch, JR. A pleasure.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm JR Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.
The Wall Street Journal editorial page is always on top of the latest from Washington and around the world. I'm Kyle Peterson, and you can join me, Paul Jagot, Kim Strassel, and our colleagues on the Potomac Watch podcast each Monday through Friday. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcast app.